Your number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
Now on Fox 50 at 8, a Durham neighborhood was surrounded by crime tape overnight after a gunman opened fire from a car. What we now know about the investigation at this hour.
Give you a live look. North Hills right now. There is a chance we could see severe weather today. We'll have that timeline for you just ahead.
And within the last 2 hours, we learned the U.S. could soon have another vaccine to help in the fight against COVID. We want to welcome you right now at 8 a.m. I'm Micaiah Thurman in for Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Great to have you along here as we all get our Monday started together. That chance for severe weather. The risk is small, but it is covering our entire viewing area just about, PETA.
Yes, just about. We have a level one risk in place today. So we're going to watch the potential for damaging wind speeds, hail, and heavy rainfall into the afternoon. I want to show you this morning. It is dry as you step out the door, warm and muggy. I know graduations are going on at 8 o'clock and 11 o'clock. We're good to go for that. Clouds are going to build in as we head into the lunch hour. Showers and thunderstorms developing after 3 o'clock to the north and west, and that's going to slip to the south and east. Notice around 4 and 5 o'clock, that's moving across the triangle, and we are going to see those storms move across the southeast of our viewing area as we head into this evening and then die down. Tonight, we are going to see dry conditions all around the viewing area. Temperatures this morning are warm. We're at 70 degrees in the triangle right now. And this afternoon, we're going to head into the 80s around lunchtime, getting to 90 degrees. And we are tracking the tropics very closely. Two areas of concern, but I want to point out this one spot off the coast of North Carolina. As of now, the latest update that just came in at 8 o'clock showing us that we have a 70% chance of development within the next 2 days. We can potentially see a tropical depression form today or a tropical storm as things are coming together. Coming up, we're going to break down how temperatures will feel out and about today. Brian?
All right, PETA, let's take a look at traffic this morning. We are picking up some delays from a couple of incidents in Durham. Still tracking this crash on 70 at Pleasant Drive with some heavy eastbound delays this morning through the Easton Connector work zone. Backups beginning around Highway 98 and extending all the way down to Pleasant Drive. Good news, the westbound delays have cleared up, but if you're trying to get onto 70 eastbound and you can pick it up from Pleasant Drive, you'll be on the other side of those backups. Seeing a changing situation now on the northbound side of the Durham Freeway. Earlier, we had some sort of an incident there right around the Easton Connector area. Saw some heavy delays from around T.W. Alexander and Cornwallis all the way out toward Ellis Road. Now it looks like those backups have moved on down a little bit, beginning right around the work zone area and extending out to Briggs Avenue. By the time you get to Alston Avenue, traffic's moving along well. I don't think that northbound delay right now is bad enough to consider an alternate route, but it's something that I'm tracking. If that changes, I'll let you know. As we check in around the rest of the triangle right now, getting a report of a crash on 40 around the Wade Avenue interchange there on the west side of Raleigh. No delay showing up with that one just yet, but we are picking up some heavy backups on the eastbound side of 440, beginning around the I-40 interchange there, coming out of Cary, extending all the way out to the Hillsborough Street and Wade Avenue interchanges. Haven't heard about any specific cause for that just yet. Wouldn't be surprised if there's some sort of a crash out there. If you're heading eastbound on 440 and you can pick it up from Wade Avenue, you'll be on the other side of those backups. Back to you.
We're following breaking news. Around 6 this morning, Novavax announced its two-shot vaccine provides strong protection against coronavirus. In the more than 29,000-person trial, the vaccine demonstrated an overall efficacy of 90.4%. This is on par with the vaccines made by Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna, and higher than the one-shot vaccine from Johnson & Johnson. Despite these promising numbers, Novavax says it may not seek emergency authorization from the FDA until the end of September. And as of this morning, the CDC says 64% of adults have gotten at least one dose of the vaccine. About 54% are now fully vaccinated nationwide. Meantime, here in North Carolina, 50% of adults are fully vaccinated.
Right now, Durham police are searching for the gunman involved in a drive-by shooting overnight. WRAL's Nia Harden was at that scene while investigators gathered evidence, and she's now at the police department to explain what she's learned. Nia.
Yeah, police are continuing to work on this case after being on the scene around 3:30 this morning. Police telling us that this drive-by shooting happened in several different blocks. I want to show you a map so you can actually see what I'm talking about here. Police saying it started on Linwood and Lincoln this morning, and then it continued down the street towards Simmons. Police say a man was shot while in his vehicle by a driver in a passing car. He's expected to be okay, but they are still gathering information about the suspected shooter. Now, once we get more, we will pass that along. Nia Harden, WREL News, Durham.
You're looking live right now at NATO headquarters in Belgium. That's where President Biden is meeting with world leaders to discuss climate change and threats from Russia and China. And NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, is an alliance between 30 countries, including the U.S. President Biden's focus on NATO is a shift from former President Donald Trump, who considered it obsolete. After the NATO summit, President Biden will meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Geneva, Switzerland. New video shows security preparations in that city. The meeting will take place on Wednesday.
This morning, a search is underway for three men accused of leading police on a high-speed chase. Officers say the chase ended here along New Leesville Boulevard in Raleigh. It allegedly started when a state trooper tried to pull over a driver going 130 miles per hour in a 70-mile-per-hour zone. Once the car crashed, investigators say three men jumped out and ran. They have not identified the group. In Fayetteville, police are looking for the person who shot a 63-year-old man a week ago. That man died last week. Jerry Smothers was working as a security guard at the Clarion Hotel on Cedar Creek Road last Saturday when he was shot. The shooter took his walk. Thank you for staying with us. We want to get a check of that weather for later this afternoon. PETA, we have a chance for some severe storms.
Yes, a level one threat in place right now for most of our viewing area. Just areas across southern Sampson County not under that threat. But still, we're going to see those showers and thunderstorms develop today. And they could bring damaging wind speeds, hail, and heavy rainfall. Remember, our atmosphere is just so juicy, we could see a lot of rainfall to come out of some of these storms that develop this afternoon. So we're watching an area of low pressure that's off the coast that could potentially develop tropical characteristics. We're going to give you an update on that within the next half hour. But I do want to point out this cold front that's off to the west. Eventually, that boundary is going to shift to the southeast. We are going to see showers and thunderstorms develop this afternoon ahead of it, and we are going to get some of those to turn strong to severe. So you can see 2 o'clock, we're dry across the viewing area. After 3 o'clock, we'll begin to see showers and thunderstorms move in across the north and west. That is going to move across the triangle around 4 and 5 o'clock, and then move to the southeast. We are going to see some of those storms die down once we lose daytime heating. Heading into 9 o'clock, we're going to see drier conditions really roll in for us, and overnight we will be dry. As we take a look at our rain chances, even into tomorrow, there's a 20% chance, and that's mainly for areas to the south and east. We could see a few scattered showers there, but beyond that, we are looking dry. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, rain chances are out of here. So if you do have any plans to maybe get some yard work done, those are really the days to get it done, as our temperatures will not be as hot and our rain chances will be low. We are likely to squeeze upwards of 1/4 inch of rainfall within the next 2 days. Now, if you do get stuck under one of those thunderstorms, we could get isolated higher amounts. As we take a live look across town this morning, it is quiet. It is beautiful. Temperatures in the 70s and the upper 60s. And we are going to head into the 80s around lunchtime. Working throughout the day, we are going to see temperatures head into the 90s this afternoon. And once you factor in the humidity, it is going to feel like 96 degrees around 4 o'clock. I won't be surprised if we see a feels-like temperature of 97. Hour by hour, our temperatures are going to be hot, but it's not going to be as hot tomorrow, heading into the upper 80s, 84 on Wednesday and Thursday, and then temperatures are expected to rebound back into the 90s for Father's Day weekend. Brian?
I have some good news here as we take a look at traffic this morning. Starting to see some real improvement in Durham. First of all, the Durham Freeway northbound, all of those delays now are cleared from whatever caused those backups earlier. It is a smooth ride from I-40 to downtown. 70 out at Pleasant Drive. An earlier crash appears to be well in the clearing stages now. We're still seeing some lingering delays on 70 eastbound right around the East End Connector work zone area, but the situation has really improved a lot. The backups don't begin all the way back at 98 anymore. I'd say the next 15 or 20 minutes, that should be all clear. Also, on the west side of Raleigh, earlier backups on 440 eastbound largely have cleared up from I-40 out to Wade Avenue. Everything moving along pretty well there in both directions. A couple of lingering crashes, one on I-40 westbound around Rock Quarry Road, another reported on I-40 eastbound at Wade Avenue. Not seeing any delays with those right now. Lingering delays on 40 westbound around the Clayton Bypass coming out of Johnston County from 42 through the bypass interchange. Once you get to Business 70, it looks good. Just a little bit of a slowdown right around the Jones Sausage Road interchange. But once you get to 440, traffic's moving freely through South Raleigh. Back to you.
Thanks, Brian. Right now, manhunts are underway across three U.S. states after separate mass shootings over the weekend. Now, in Savannah, police are looking for a gunman who opened fire outside a home, killing a person and hurting seven others, including an 18-month-old child. In Chicago, two men are on the run after a shooting in a neighborhood that killed a woman and sent nine others to the hospital. And in Austin, Texas, police are looking for a second suspect now after a shooting in a tourist area killed a 25-year-old man and hurt 13 others. And in Atlanta, a security guard is in critical condition after a shooting at a popular mall. This was the scene at the Lenox Square Mall in Buckhead. When officers arrived, they found a security guard shot in the torso. Police found two suspects at a nearby hotel.
Back here in North Carolina, one person is dead after a house fire in the eastern part of the state. An autopsy will be performed this week. Fire crews responded to this house in Aiden over the weekend. Police say a body of a police sergeant was recovered from inside that home. The cause is under investigation for the fire. And a live look at the U.S. Capitol, a bipartisan bill could provide more financial aid to the restaurant industry. Lawmakers are calling for an additional $60 billion in aid for restaurants, bars, and others in food service. According to the National Restaurant Association, more than 90,000 businesses have closed since the start of the pandemic. And Durham is removing its bright gold defund sign painted on the road in front of the police headquarters. The words were spray painted in front of the building a year ago in response to the death of George Floyd. Normally, the city would remove graffiti immediately. The Durham officials allowed the defund sign to stay in place. The painting will be removed by the end of July.
The town of Hillsborough is considering changes to how much you pay in taxes, and today is your chance to respond. The town board of commissioners is holding a virtual public meeting on its new $25 million budget. The current plan lowers property tax but raises water and sewer rates. Tonight's public hearing begins at 7 p.m., and if it's approved, the budget will go into effect July 1st. Right now, let's give you a live look at Goldsboro. Good morning, folks. We're leaders there working on a plan to spend your tax dollars. The latest proposal includes a 3-cent property tax increase. It also includes a 15% increase in water and sewage. Council meets at 5 p.m. tonight. And starting today, there will be more places to get active in Cary. The town's responding and reopening Bond Park Community Center and the Cary Arts Center. Many areas will operate under limited summer hours. Other places, including the Hive, will reopen in the coming weeks.
Japan's prime minister has won the support from other world leaders to host the Olympics and Paralympics in Tokyo this summer. During the G7 summit, he told reporters he explained how thorough infection control would be in place, all to safeguard the games. The G7 leaders reiterated their support for holding the Olympics in a safe and secure manner as a symbol of global unity in overcoming COVID-19. And Ken Smith's in the WREL Live Center with the latest.
Micaiah, the caucus taking down to opening ceremonies for the Summer Games July 23rd, right? We want to take you to a scaled-down version, though, of the Olympic torch relay in Japan's Hokkaido community. Because of COVID-19 measures, it meant a departure from the traditional running of the torch through the streets to what you're seeing here, just a simple lighting of the cauldron. It was done by one single torchbearer. Now, the next stop for the torch relay is happening in another community. That will be a 3-day event.
And now with more Olympic news, today the second wave of the U.S. Olympic swimming trials resumes in Omaha. But five athletes can rest easy knowing they have already punched their tickets. Emily Wyant is one of them. She qualified in the women's 400-meter individual medley, finishing in 4 minutes and 33 seconds. Wow. The trials run through Sunday. And we are now just 38 days out from the Olympic Games. WREL is your Olympics headquarters. You can go to WREL.com for everything you need to know so far.
Well, the Red Bull Cliff Diving World Series is back in France after a 21-month break. The opener for the series' 12th season took place on the French Riviera. 12 men, 12 women competed from platforms up to 88 feet high. A Romanian won first place for the men, an Australian won on the women's side. That is death-defying stuff. Wow. Former NBA player Lamar Odom walked away with the championship belt after a celebrity boxing match. He took on singer Aaron Carter. Sort of a mismatch of epic proportions here, as Odom had a 10-inch height advantage, 11-inch reach advantage, and 64 pounds heavier. Not even bulky protective gear here could save Carter. A special guest referee called the match in the second round. When you think of a luxury home, shipping containers, not likely the first thing that comes to mind, but a man in Washington State is changing that perception. Devin Haskins takes us inside the container mansion that's getting national buzz.
Tucked away just off SR-14 in East Vancouver, Edward Merced's home is unlike pretty much anything on the market.
There's 11 containers in this house, 840s and 320s.
He broke ground in 2015, and since then, it's been a labor of love.
Originally, it was only going to be a small, 2,000 square foot home, but it's become 4,100 square foot with 11 shipping containers.
Walking through his home, you'd hardly realize you're walking through shipping containers.
We're in two containers right now. I'm standing in two. So right here is a center. And I put this facade up here to hide it.
And some of these finer touches you won't find in a store. These interior windows are from the old Montgomery building. His dining room light, an old door. In fact, he says nearly 70% of the materials and decorations used are recycled.
Basically, we use anything recyclable as possible. Like, for example, the C-channel came from, the C-channel you see there from for the writing rack, that came from the trailer that was here, like a mobile home that was here originally.
The house draws quite the interest. He says people every day stop by to take a picture.
And if this house looks somewhat familiar to you, it's because you might have seen it on HGTV's Container Homes.
I was fishing in Costa Rica, and a lady just came up to me. She goes, "You're that guy." I'm like, "What guy?" "You're that guy on Container Homes."
But after 4 years of living here, it's time to sell, which for someone that put hours into building it, he says it's hard to walk away.
It's kind of a dilemma here for me, you know. In deep down, you know, I spent so much time and effort. I know every nook and cranny. I know every, you know, thing in this house. It's just that I feel like it's holding me back, you know, from doing something new.
It's yours for only a cool $2 million.
Incredible. Coming up, we'll explain the latest efforts from the airport to increase travel.
Your number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
8:26 the time right now. I'm Jeff Hogan with a look at the top local stories we are following for you. We're all getting this Monday started under a threat for severe weather. Peta Shearwood in the WRL Severe Weather Center.
Yes, we have a level one threat in place where damaging wind speeds will be possible for this afternoon. Right now, it is quiet outside, very warm and muggy. Throw the umbrella in the bag right now. We're seeing a lot of clouds that will build in around 2 o'clock. And then after 3 o'clock, we're likely to see showers and thunderstorms develop, and again, some of those likely to bring some damaging wind speeds into the area and heavy rain. Other than that, our temperatures this morning that are in the 70s will head into the 90s for this afternoon with a high of 90 degrees. Brian?
Things are looking pretty good out there with the exception of our typical delays on 40 westbound around the Clayton bypass. This is a look at that camera out there at 42 looking toward the bypass. You can see the traffic backed up there on the westbound side. 15 minutes right now from 42 to 440 with most of those delays confined to the area between 42 and the bypass. A couple of minor crashes in Raleigh not causing any big problems. Major routes elsewhere throughout the triangle are looking fine.
Tonight, Durham County commissioners will vote on a new budget. The $730 million plan raises property tax by 1 cent. The county will also spend $184 more per student at public schools and will invest $400,000 in a program to reduce violence. Tonight's vote will be at 7 p.m. At 10:30 this morning, RDU will announce plans to bring more travel back to the airport. The travel industry took a hit during the pandemic, but now leisure travel is rebounding. WRAL will stream today's press conference live on WRAL.com. Next on Fox 50, new video into our newsroom overnight shows the damage left behind after a woman crashed into a hotel in Raleigh.
Your number one source for local news. This is WRAL, coverage you can count on.
Thanks for staying with us. I'm Micaiah Thurman in for Renee Chu.
And I'm Jeff Hogan, and it's 8:30 as we get our Monday rolling here. Elizabeth Gardner is off today, so Peter Shearwood in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with that coverage of severe risk all through our viewing area there.
Yeah, so we are likely to see damaging wind speeds heading into the afternoon and the potential for some heavy rainfall. Be mindful of that today. It is quiet this morning, and you know, looks can be a little deceiving as you step out the door. It's nice out there, warm and muggy, but as we head into this afternoon, we are going to see showers and thunderstorms develop to the northwest, and then some of that is going to move into the triangle around 4 and 5 o'clock before heading to the south and to east. And notice that some of those storms could really bring some heavy rainfall as we head throughout the afternoon and early evening. Once we head into 8 and 9 o'clock, those storms are going to lose their strength and die down. We are going to see drier conditions as we head into tonight. Check out our temperatures this morning. It's 72 degrees right now in Raleigh and Durham, 74 degrees in Southern Pines. This afternoon around lunchtime, we'll be in the 80s, and we are going to top off at 90 degrees, feeling like 97. Now, we are watching the tropics very closely. Now, we have three systems to talk about, but for the purpose of this, I do want to zoom in and talk about this one that's off the coast of North Carolina. Now, we have a 70% chance of development within the next 2 days. We're likely to see a tropical depression form later today, or a tropical storm, as it is becoming, it's showing a little bit more tropical characteristics. Coming up, we are going to talk about the tropics, and I'm going to break down the other systems that we are seeing this morning. Back to you.
Pia, thank you. We are following breaking news. Novavax saying its two-shot vaccine provides strong protection against the coronavirus. In the more than 29,000-person trial, the vaccine demonstrated an overall efficacy of 90.4%. Novavax says it may not seek emergency authorization from the FDA until the end of September.
Right now, Durham police are trying to determine what led to a drive-by shooting overnight. We know one man was hurt. WRAL's Naya Harden was at the scene while investigators gathered evidence, and she is now at the police department to share what she's learned from authorities.
Police are still investigating this drive-by shooting that happened around 3 o'clock this morning. I want to show you a map so you can see where this all started in Durham on Linwood and Lincoln. But police telling us it didn't end there. It continued as the driver went down the street towards Simmons. According to police, they say a man was shot while in his vehicle by a driver in a passing car. He's expected to be okay. Now, police are still looking into information about the suspected shooter. Once we get that, we'll let you know. Naya Harden, WRAL News, Durham.
Well, right now, security is tight in Brussels, Belgium. That is as world leaders gather to attend the NATO summit today. President Biden is holding talks with the leaders of Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania ahead of the summit. NATO stands for North Atlantic Treaty Organization and is an alliance between 30 countries, including the U.S. President Biden's focus on NATO will be a big shift from former President Trump, who called the alliance obsolete. Russia, China, and cybersecurity are all on the agenda.
Tonight, Durham County commissioners will vote on a new budget. The $730 million plan raises property tax by 1 cent, which is about $20 a year on a $200,000 home. The county will also spend $184 more per student at public schools and will invest $400,000 in a program to reduce violence. Tonight's vote is at 7 p.m.
And right now, you are looking live at RDU International. In just a few hours, airport officials will launch a new effort to boost travel after taking a hard hit from the pandemic. WRL's Casey Cunningham is at the airport this morning with what we can expect.
That news conference is happening later this morning. We're expecting to hear about a new coalition that's aimed at bringing travel back here to RDU. We know that RDU took a hit during the pandemic, but you can see here travel definitely picking up on this Monday morning with lots of people coming in to travel. Definitely been busier lately and busier the last couple of months. There were 221,000 people who flew through RDU during Memorial Day weekend. And listen to these latest numbers from the TSA just released. They screened 2 million people across the country on Friday. That's the highest number of daily travelers since March 2020. So RDU hoping that momentum will continue, and today's announcement will focus on the airport's efforts to bring more travel back here to RDU, not just for leisure or vacation, but in business, entertainment, and sports as well. So WRL will stream that live at 10:30. Casey Cunningham, WRL News at RDU.
Ken Smith here in the WRL Live Center. This tweet that Casey just referred to further drives home the point that RDU International officials will be making around 10:30 this morning. And this from Lisa Farmstein, the TSA spokesperson, saying TSA screened 2,097,433 individuals at airport security checkpoints Sunday, June 13th. It was the highest checkpoint volume since the start of the pandemic and the second time in the last 3 days that the volume topped 2 million. And Casey just mentioned it as well. Of course, again, we'll be live streaming that press conference at 10:30.
A Raleigh hotel has some cleaning up to do today after a woman drove her car into the building. The WRL Breaking News Tracker was at the extended stay on Bluestone Drive around 1:30 this morning. Police say the woman's foot slipped off the brake and she went into the building. Everyone was okay.
Well, this morning, the last graduates in Wake County are walking across the stage. Southeast Raleigh High School is the last school to hold commencement ceremonies for the class of 2021. First ceremony is underway right now. It started at 8. The second will happen in just a few hours at 11 o'clock this morning. Wake County Public Schools tells WRL schools are following all current health guidelines to make sure graduation is as safe as possible. Still in need of a Father's Day gift? Just ahead, we'll share ideas that any dad would love.
Also, we could learn if the U.S. Supreme Court will take up a case focused on college admissions, what impact this could have on thousands of applicants.
The time right now on your Monday morning. And new this morning, the owner of more than 100 malls across the U.S., including here in the Triangle, is filing for bankruptcy. Washington Prime Group says the pandemic is to blame for this move. The CEO says she has already secured $100 million to help restructure outstanding debt and avoid any closings or interruptions to service for the time being, anyway. The North Ridge Shopping Center in Raleigh is owned by Washington Prime Group. Father's Day is Sunday, and here's your warning. A lot of folks wondering what to get their dad. Dan Sheneman shares some gifts that are sure to top the list.
Throw it over here.
After being housebound for much of the last year, people rediscovered what was important to them. As Father's Day approaches, family time remains number one on the wish list.
Being able to get together, I mean, I don't need another tie.
So honestly, the spending time, you know, with my kids.
Even though the world is getting a little bit more back to normal this summer, that doesn't mean that dad is looking for some crazy grand gesture or trip.
Keeping that in mind, what is the best way to celebrate the dad in your life this Father's Day?
With many dads still working from home, now's a good time to think about upgrading his office.
In Fluid Stance, we're all about bringing life to work.
Fluid Stance founder Joel Heath says physical flow is just as important as mental flow.
So a flow card is just a beautiful tool that you can jot a note and you can magnetize it anywhere.
Helping with the balance of work and home are Fluid Stance's ergonomically designed suite of products like the Raise, Slope, and the Level.
It gives you enough movement to matter when you're stuck in those places like your desk or on a Zoom, but not too much that it impacts your keystroke productivity. You just have to invest in the tools that give us the movement and the freedom to be the best we are.
Being the best dad is important to Dominic Miserandino. We spoke to Dominic last year about one of his best Father's Day memories.
We just spent the first 2 or 3 hours just walking and talking. It was the best Father's Day.
His wish for this year remains the same.
Spend time with my family, spend time with my daughter.
A priceless gift that means so much to so many. Dan Shenneman, NBC News.
My dad just wants gift cards. Well, the Big Rock Blue Marlin Tournament officially starts today, and that's along the North Carolina coast. WREL's David Crabtree shared a message at a prayer breakfast ahead of the tournament yesterday morning. The U.S. Coast Guard from Atlantic Beach did the presentation of colors. The annual fishing tournament is one of the biggest each year for businesses in Morehead City. Well, criticized and canceled, a Juneteenth event in North Carolina has some wondering why it was planned in the first place.
This is unacceptable in Mecklenburg County.
The reason there's outrage over an event to represent the final days of the antebellum era and how the plantation hosting the event is responding.
Plus, NC State baseball is headed to the College World Series. The head coach explains why this year's team was able to keep its season alive. And winning lottery numbers right here. The Carolina pick 3, 522, pick 4, 6091. Carolina cash 5 was a double draw. First set of numbers, 2, 13, 36, 42, 43. And the second set of numbers, 16, 17, 20, 24, 33. .845 as we take you down to the Sand Hills. This is Southern Pines and a beautiful look at the Longleaf Golf and Family Club. It's been a lovely Sunday down nearby there just yesterday. It was beautiful and it's hanging on. Peter Sherwood in the WRL Severe Weather Center. Well, we have clouds up here. It's still hanging on down there. Nice.
Yes, it is lovely. I mean, we are seeing quiet conditions across the viewing area this morning, but this afternoon it could get a little rowdy. We have a level one threat for severe storms, and we're likely to see showers and thunderstorms really get going after 3 o'clock. I want to show you here on Futurecast, because if you have plans this morning, maybe to head out to a graduation ceremony, you're good to go. Lunchtime outside is nice as well, but we are going to see those showers and thunderstorms really get going after 3 o'clock for the north and west, and then those are going to dive to the south and east, taking up shop across the triangle as we head into 4 and 5 o'clock. But just notice the progression of those storms. They're going to move to the southeast, and once we lose daytime heating, storm chances are going to die down. Later this evening, around 8 and 9 o'clock, we'll begin to see drier conditions move in, and tonight will be a dry one. Right now, we are looking at a mix of sun and clouds across Chapel Hill this morning. You can see people going for a walk. It's a really nice morning to go for a jog. But if you're going for a jog or a walk, you probably work up a sweat, because we're already seeing very warm temperatures in the 70s. It's 72 degrees in Roxburgh and Fayetteville. And this afternoon, we'll head to 90 degrees. But once you factor in the humidity, it's going to feel like 97. Behind this system that's going to move through, we are going to see our temperatures fall back into the 80s, 88 tomorrow, feeling like 87, 84 for Wednesday. We're watching the tropics right now, getting a little active. I do want to point out two systems here, but just notice we now have a tropical wave that's moving off the coast of Africa. Let's zoom in on the one system that's off the coast of North Carolina. The latest update coming in from the National Hurricane Center showing that there's a 70% chance we can have our second named storm of the season. And we are going to watch this, because the thunderstorm activity is really coming together and it's starting to show tropical characteristics. This is going to move away from North Carolina. It's going to run into some cooler sea surface temperatures and then die down. So that's the good news with this one. We don't expect a lot of impacts from that. But we're watching this area here in the Bay of Campeche, 60% chance for development within the next 5 days. That's going to drive a lot of impacts across Mexico and potentially across the coast of Texas and Louisiana, bringing a lot of rainfall as we head into the end of the week and the weekend. We could potentially see a tropical depression form in that area. And it's typical for us to see activity in that area around this time of the year. 90 degrees will be the high today, 88 tomorrow. Our rain chances will come down, will be dry for the rest of the week. But notice those temperatures that will be in the 80s. We'll head right back into the 90s for Father's Day weekend. Back to you.
PETA, thank you. This morning, a Holly Springs man is facing charges after a woman dies after riding in a golf cart. Jeremy Martin faces multiple counts, including driving while impaired. First responders found the woman in critical condition after riding in a golf cart Friday night. She died at the hospital the next day, but police haven't said exactly how she was hurt in the first place.
Not safer to drive a golf cart any more than it is a vehicle. A golf cart is an open-air vehicle, particularly when people are not wearing their seatbelts. I think that presents its own hazards.
Martin is due in court July 2nd. In California, a 6-year-old killed in a road rage shooting will be honored today. Aiden Leos was shot in Orange County in May while his mother was taking him to kindergarten. Leos loved visiting Orange County Zoo, so the zoo will put up a plaque with his name on it. This will be at the new large mammal exhibit. The project is still under construction.
Cuba is seeing a record spike in COVID-19 cases right now. Health officials noted almost 1,500 new cases yesterday. It's the largest single-day increase in infections on the island since the pandemic began. Officials say they're enforcing new measures that will make it harder for people to travel between provinces. Back here in the U.S., Vice President Kamala Harris is getting ready to kick off a month-long vaccine tour, and her first stop is Greenville, South Carolina, where she will speak at a vaccine mobilization event at 12:15. And then she'll tour a pop-up clinic at the YMCA of Greenville. The goal is to encourage millions of Americans to get vaccinated against COVID-19. A North Carolina native and one of the leading researchers behind Moderna's COVID-19 vaccine is starting a new job today. Dr. Kizmikia Corbett is officially joining Harvard's T.H. Chan School of Public Health in Boston. She is expected to continue her focus on preventing the next pandemic. Dr. Corbett is from Orange County and earned her Ph.D. from UNC.
As early as today, we could learn if the U.S. Supreme Court will take up a case focused on race in college admissions. The justices are set to decide whether they will hear an appeal arguing that Harvard discriminates against Asian American applicants. The case wouldn't be heard until this fall or winter, but could have national implications for university admissions. And a controversial, now canceled Juneteenth event in Mecklenburg County has some questioning why it was planned in the first place. Juneteenth marks the end of slavery in the U.S. The event at Lotta Plantation was planned to have visitors interact with actors telling the stories of Confederate soldiers and plantation owners. This includes one character that's referred to as Massa. The event would have been called Kingdom Coming.
This is unacceptable in Mecklenburg County.
We could tell our children, you know, this is the way it was and this is the way it is now, and we have come such a long way.
The plantation site manager says he will not apologize for planning the event. In a statement, he said, "History was not always pretty. Juneteenth was chosen because it means freedom to many, and it was a time to celebrate and be joyful."
Tributes continue to pour in, honoring actor Ned Beatty. People on social media are sharing their thoughts about a man whose credits include more than 100 movies and TV shows. Seth Rogen posted on Twitter saying, "R.I.P. Ned Beatty," and included a clip to his monologue in the movie Network. The director of Toy Story 3 says it was a joy and honor to work with Beatty. Beatty was the voice of Lotso in the movie. He died at his home, natural causes, in Los Angeles. He was 83 years old. Your help is now needed to spot two invasive insects that may already be in our state. It could be a big threat to our agriculture industry and consumer produce. Five on Your Side's Monica LaLiberty explains what to look for in our WRAL Morning Original.
Wanted, the destructive Asian longhorn beetle and spotted lanternfly. These two non-native pests are right on our state's doorstep.
The Asian longhorn beetle is in South Carolina. The spotted lanternfly is in Virginia.
Kelly Oden is an assistant professor of forestry at NC State University. She says both pests leave destruction in their path. The longhorn beetle bores into many different hardwood trees.
But it really prefers maple trees, which is the second most common tree in North Carolina.
They plant their eggs inside the bark, and later the larvae eat their way out.
Just like riddles, it turns it into Swiss cheese, and the trees fall apart and die in several years.
Spotted lanternflies come in swarms, looking for fruit trees or grapevines.
And basically sucks the juices out of the tree or the plant that it needs
needs to survive and grow. So this is going to have big impacts for the wine industry in North Carolina.
Oten says longhorn beetles are poolside pests attracted to water and seen in pool filters. The insects have not yet been identified here, but Oten says it's only a matter of time.
But really, these insects could be found anywhere, so we're hoping that everyone keeps an eye out for them.
Monica LaLiberty, WRAL News 5 on your side.
Well, the Wolfpack is headed to the College World Series. NC State stunned number one Arkansas to get their big chance at the big title. This will be NC State's third trip to the College World Series in program history. Head coach Elliot Avent says the team is smart and tough, which contributed to the win. That series will start on June 19th.
Party on, Pack. That's good stuff. A Quiet Place Part 2 set a pandemic-era box office milestone over the weekend. After slipping to second place, the movie earned $11.6 million, and that brings its three-week domestic box office total to $108.9 million, making it the first movie to break the $100 million mark since the pandemic began.
I have one friend who saw it. No, thank you. Don't like scary movies. Well, let's get a live look at RDU. Up next on Fox 50, the push to increase business travel as leisure travel ramps up.